So we'll discuss today the question.
Is it recording?
If it's recording, it's only recording.
But it's that's no.
It's right. Like I knocked it.
Talk to Rabbi,
I don't think it's recording, though.
It was.
There, now it's recording.
This is not the
beginning.
There we go.
We'll discuss today the question of buying and selling aliyos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. During the week, isn't an issue. But our question would be buying and selling.
In the States, that's quite common.
Yeah, it's not a problem during the week. I'm only discussing the issue of, not that it doesn't happen, I'm discussing the question of, and we know the custom is on Simchas Torah in many places, and in Ataharesa, people buy and sell aliyahs or psukim.
Right.
So the first one to raise the question was the Yam Shel Shlomo about 400 years ago in terms of if one could sell, and it's a discussion, it's a machlokas among the poskim. I think the Minigan Chassidi Ustreich was that even if you got outbid, in other words, you started off 100, 150, 200, even if you didn't win, whatever you bid, the meaning was to give. Yeah. Obviously, it's not very popular today. I don't think you'll get that much money if you tried that today. That was the old meaning, that whatever you bid, that's what you paid, even if you didn't get the aliyah. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it's a machlokas haposkim, whether it's an appropriate custom to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And what's the issue at hand? Like, what would be the potential problem?
Well, doing business on Shabbos.
Correct. So we know there's a prohibition of being involved in mekach or memkar, being involved in buying and selling. We know actually there's a Yiddish. We usually use Yiddish word when we say nishtan Shabbos karet. We basically. We shouldn't be discussing this on Shabbos, but
anyway.
A nishtan Shabbos karet, I'm looking to sell my car. A nishtan Shabbos karet, how much you want to sell it for? A nishtan Shabbos karet, it's a deal, but that's the way it used to go, but obviously that's not appropriate, but that's the way it usually works. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's a prohibition of being involved in mekach or memchar in business matters. And the question is, what's the potential heter? Do we say this is Mecca? In other words, what's the mechanics of how this works selling an aliyah? Do I say it is a case of Mekach or Memchar? However, with Sarach Yantiv, with Sarach Shabbos, what is permitted to Sarach Mitzvah selling an aliyah? Like we find by other, let's say we find the Mordechai Be'er of Tavshilin, that in order to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you have to you make an Erev Tavshilin. So they point out, let's say I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, but you didn't forget. So you're allowed to cook, I'm not. So could I give you my food and say, hey, I'm giving you my food as a gift, it's your food now, go ahead and cook it. So the Mordechai writes, yes, it's okay. How could you transfer ownership on Shabbos? It's a Kenyan. So the Mordechai writes, but Sarach Mitzvah, but Sudas Shabbos, Oneg Yom Tov, Oneg Shabbos is permitted. So what's the heter? According to those who say it's permitted, that you're allowed to sell aliyahs on Yom Tov, is the heter that really it is Mekach U'Memchar, except with Sarach Yom Tov, with Sarach Mitzvah, we're permitting it? Or no? What we're saying is, it has nothing to do with Mekach U'Memchar at all. There's no real value. There's no inherent value to how much an aliyah is worth. It's what are you basically doing when you're buying an aliyah? You're really making a neder with tzedakah. You're basically making a vow. I'm going to give tzedakah if I win this bid, if I get this aliyah. But it's nothing to do with mekach or memcha at all. That's the chakir. Why is it permitted to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Is it because it is mekach or memcha, but with tzarach mitzvah it's permitted? Well, no, it's not even mekach or memcha. It has nothing to do with mekach. It's just a neder with tzedakah. And a neder with tzedakah, you're allowed to make it. Jeff, you had something to say?
It's at best, at most, it's a rabbanan doing business. Because it's removed from the atmosphere.
Correct. The concern is you might come to ride or do other things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one could argue that the gezeira was never intended for mitzvahika purposes.
Yeah, that's the first side. That's what we're saying, right? That with tzarach mitzvah, so that, like, we have a principle, b'makom choli lo gozu drabanan. We have a general rule. When we're dealing with a sick person, we assume the rabbis never instituted the rabbinic decrees, and therefore the rabbinic decrees that normally apply. If someone's sick, by definition, we know it doesn't apply. So similarly here, we have with tzarach mitzvah. So that's the issue. So either way, according to the approach that it's mutter, what's the difference why it's mutter? What do I care if it's permitted because it's mekach u'memchar, and it's permitted because it's a mitzvah? Or it's a case of nedu l'tzedakah, my nafkamina, as they say. What's the practical difference? Either way, I could go ahead and buy the aliyah. So what's the difference if I say it's mekach u'memchar, it's tzarach mitzvah, or it's nedu l'tzedakah? So we'll bring down some interesting questions. So Rav Silberstein, who I think he's the son-in-law of Rav Elyashav in Eretz Yisrael, the wackos seem to find him all the time. He comes up with the most amazing questions that you find in his Sfarim. Here's the following question. It was Simchas Torah, and this person was ran back after davening to get his children for the hakafas. He wanted to go around and have them around for the dancing and singing. So meanwhile, they were selling the aliyahs. So he ran back. He came back towards the end, and he walked in. They were saying, 1,000 for Chasan Torah. You think, wow, the economy must be bad this year. That's it? Only 1,000 for Chasan Torah? 1,100, he walks in. And sure enough, he wins 1,100. He's so happy. He gets Chasan Torah. He's having a joyous Simcha Torah until he gets the bill in the mail. And instead of thinking it was 1,100 shkolim, there was really $1,100, which is a lot more than 1,100 shkolim. So the question is, what is he obligated to pay now? He had in mind 1,100 shkolim. He says, Israel, he figured they're doing shkolim. And then when he got the bill, it was $1,100. Which one is he obligated to pay? $1,100 or 1,100 shkolim?
I would say neither of them. If it's a mechkar, the first thing, it's a mechkar tzaus. He never made the agreement that they thought he made. And the other way, he never made the neder that way. So either way, he's not obliged.
He's got to be obliged to something.
Okay, if you want to, I know my answer's wrong, because you said enough to mean about it.
Right, so now we'll explain why he's wrong. So
we do that every morning.
Exactly, that's what he's there to elucidate why, to explain the opinion. So Rav Zilberstein explains as follows. He says, if it's working midin neder, so he's chayv 1,100 shkolim. In other words, if it's a neder, it's a duck, I know what it goes what I'm thinking. It doesn't make a difference. It has nothing to do with anyone else in the room. If I have in mind when I say 100 that I mean 100 shkolim, it doesn't make a difference with anyone else. If it's working, I'm making a neder tzedakah. Whatever I thought I was giving, that's what I'm giving. So if it's a neder, he's clearly obligated 1,100 shkolim. What about if it's mekach or memchar? So that's what he points out. There's another gemara that there's halacha that in a similar situation, when you do something, the case of the gemara is like this. Someone's father passed away, and he had a bunch of cows and sheep in his backyard. So after the shiva, the kids were hungry. They figured they'd have some nice lamb chops, some rib steak. So they slaughtered the cow, whatever it was, and they had a dinner for the next while. Some guy shows up at his door next week saying, by the way, your father borrowed my cows. Could I have them back? Oh, do you mean the cows that were in the backyard? Yeah, don't worry, we had dinner already. They're no longer there. The shaila is, are they chayev to pay? Like they thought they were the... They thought it was the father's. So there's halach in Chosh and Mishpat, Mishalei Masha Nene. You have to pay for something that what it's worth. In other words, what a reasonable fair value is. In other words, these people, they wouldn't, if they were buying the cows, they wouldn't have spent $500 on the cow. Let's say they would have spent, let's say $300 or whatever the amount. So you have to find somewhere in between what's considered at least a fair value for what they, what they would have paid for that amount. So therefore, he says, same thing here. Yet you find somewhere between 1,100 shkolim and $1,100, try to find some amount which is reasonable that someone, you know, that someone would have paid, that he, or he would have paid for the amount.
But it's perfectly arguable, because somebody had already bid $1,000, that it was worth that.
No, right, but here it's not, no, right here, but here it's not an objective, it's something which wasn't an objective value, right? But the, no, or you could argue from the fact, you could argue from the fact that he only bid $1,100, he thinks that's all it's worth also.
I mean, saying, may, but what he thinks it's worth isn't what the synagogue is going to be out.
No, either way, no. No, either way.
He should be paying at least $1,000 because that's what they would have gotten if he hadn't opened his mouth.
No, no, that's a sum. That's a sum bring down. That's not what he actually says. But you're, that's a sum bring down. No, because the issue isn't if you're saying if it's working within Chosha Mishpat, the fact that it's, you know, if you're saying it's working within Chosha Mishpat, you should have to pay. You know, so the issue is like this, because the different minhagim is, because maybe he said, well, you could have said 1,100 shkolim. You didn't, like, that's one of the minhagim when you were making, when you make announcements on Shabbos or Yontif, you don't want to say dollars, because it doesn't look like dollars on Shabbos and Yontif. So some people used to say, let's say, 100 pennies, you know, for, and you have to find it very confusing. Or people say 100 without the dollars. So therefore, in terms of kosher, so the, so even though that person's out the whole cow, he doesn't have to pay the whole amount. That just, I mean, that's the base. I hear what you're saying in terms of the Gemara. You didn't have to pay the full amount of the cows. It's what he would have paid for that. That's cause it, because he made an honest mistake. He was eating the cows thinking it was his, and when he made the.
What was the mistake?
True, so,
I understand.
It is
how
true. The shul would be out money, but the point is, it's not technically out because we assume until they actually made the pledge, it was, in other words, it doesn't become, the fact he says, I'm willing to give $1,000 to get the, they never said yes yet. It wasn't like, the way bidding works, is it doesn't, it's not yours until proven. Otherwise, he doesn't give it, he doesn't say you won until he's finished. So strictly speaking, they didn't get, they didn't have any money coming to him, in terms of, from technical point of view. It is true, the shul will be out money. That is true, but we're trying to min. But then, what he doesn't have to, we're trying to work out some compromise in between the 1,100 shkolim and 11. You know, it's not black and white what the amount would be. Yeah,
no,
Jeff.
You can't cancel the transaction because he's already benefited from it. He's already had hung up.
Yeah,
not, he's gone up and had his aliyah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's something to do with mechak
toz. You could cancel it.
It's not a mechak toz. It is. It's a mechak. The question is how much money he wanted to pay for. It wasn't a case where.
But I mean,
It wasn't a case where he wasn't getting what he knew. He exactly got what he wanted. It was an issue of how much he had to pay for it.
I mean, if he hadn't had, if he discovered the error before he had the aliyah, he could cancel it.
I'll give you another example. Let's say that you're bidding for an aliyah. Okay, 50, 100, 150, 200, 300, so 350. So the person said, let's say 400, but the gabbai heard 350. It wouldn't happen here, don't worry, right? So let's say he bid $400 and the gabbai heard 350. He said, it sold 350 to Chaim Yanko, even though he actually said 400. What is he obligated to pay? 350 or 400?
Tzedakah. He had in mind to give 400. So tzedakah, you must.
Right. So if it works, me din neder letzedakah, he'd have to give what he bid, 400.
Yes.
If it's a din in choshen mishpat, he only has to pay 350. It's a meeting of the mind. If you walk into a store and say, you know what, I want to give you $25, and the guy says, okay, $20, it's yours. It's a deal. The meeting of the mind. So if it's a din in, if it's a neder letzedakah, you have to pay whatever you pledge. But if it's a din in choshen mishpat, whatever you agreed on, that's the amount. So depending on what the case is, it could be a kul or a chumrah. In the first case of a neder, you're paying less, because that's what you. But in this case, whatever you had in mind, you have to pay. Another case is as follows. Let's say Reuven lent Shimon money, and because he was helping him to buy a house, buy a car, whatever, and, you know, it's Yontif, he said, you know, I'm going to do, Shimon's going to do Reuven a favor, he's going to buy him an aliyah. But so Shimon buys an aliyah, and then when Reuven gets up there, he asks the gabbai, who bought this aliyah for me? Oh, you know, Shimon, the one you're helping out with the house. He said, I can't take it. It's ribis. There's halacha, perhaps not even saying thank you to someone who lends you money. But there's an issue of ribis here that you can't benefit. Like if he gave you like a gift, that's definitely usher. So the question is it a problem here of ribis, the taking an aliyah because you lend someone money? So if it's working midin choshen mishpat. So then we have, it's a case of mekka komemka. Then we can discuss, it's a question of ribbis. Then it's a question, what do we do to get out of it? But if it's a case of neder l'tzedakah, it's already done. You already got the kavod, meaning there's nothing, you don't have to give it up. So in that case, I think he asked the Rav, and the Rav just said, just buy it yourself. In other words, instead of getting into the issue of ribbis, he said, you just pay for the aliyah, and therefore you avoid the problem. I don't know how happy Reuven was. Now he had to pay for the aliyah, and he was lending the money. But that'd be, if it's a case of mekka komemka, then we could deal if all the whether the hilchos ribbis apply or not. If it's a din of neder l'tzedakah, it has nothing to do with ribbis. There's no mekka komemka happening, and therefore, you know, there's nothing to do. You already called up the guy for the aliyah. He already got the kavod.
I'm still struggling with the example of the cow.
Right.
Because the fellow who brought the cows over into the, for just to be stored there or whatever, is expecting to get market value for the cow. Why he should get anything less than market value for the cow because this other person misunderstood is totally beyond me. And I'm wondering, especially say he was not Jewish, then how could you obligate him by our peculiar laws to say you should get less than market value because I didn't know it was your cow?
No, first of all, I think, right, in the case where we're talking, over there we were talking about a Jew anyway, but I'm saying no. But no, the question is, what does Mishali Mashanena mean? In other words, what is, in other words, obviously if it was a case where those people were negligent, like they shouldn't, like, I mean, we need a lot more details to the case. I was just giving the rule. In other words, obviously if it's a case where the kid should have known that, let's say he had it right in front of him, these are not my cat. In other words,
it doesn't matter whether he knew or he didn't know.
No, maybe because, or let's say he was a shomer chinam, let's say he's watching them for nothing. It was a case of, let's say, if it's a case of.
But your shul case is the same case as he's bringing. It's also a problem. Why should the shul be out?
No, I'm bringing the shul
money
case.
Why should the shul be out the money? Because this guy went, messed with his kids, came in, doesn't know what's up.
No, because why?
He comes in, he makes a mistake.
No, but why?
To your example, he made a mistake.
No, so why didn't
why should the shul get less money than the guy who bid $1,000?
I know, because
they should at least get the $1,000.
I know, but the bid is $1,000, there was nothing binding, and it was the shul's fault. Why didn't they clarify what they wanted? Obviously, they should have said $1,000. Why didn't they clarify exactly the amount? Then it wouldn't have been a mistake either. So I'm saying in a case where it's clear, in other words, let's say the guy's a shomer, so there are different rules. What you're obligated in, if this isn't considered an honor, this is something that happened out of the person's control. They had no reason to think. There's many details to what the. I'm not saying you wouldn't be right. What we're dealing with now is a case where obviously it wasn't the kid's fault. The kid's, if it had the guy's name on the neck and he didn't read it, then that's something. It's basically you're negligent and you would be obligated. I'm saying that's a whole big sugya. I'm just taking out one little point of, because
right.
Because that's what he compares it to. But you're right. Obviously, certain cases, they'd be totally responsible. You know, if they announced $1,000 and he just thought $1,000, then it was a different case then. Here, it was a case where it's reason to believe it could have been $1,000.
Right.
If he walks in, something usually sells for $100,000 and he says $500, you know, then obviously it's not something an average, so it depends on a lot of factors. Another case, I'm a Levi, I'm very popular, let's say someone is. And let's say the buying aliyah to someone that I have a lot of friends here. So someone buys me Levi, and they also want to buy me Mafter. But obviously they don't necessarily tell you until afterwards. So it comes up Levi, then someone calls me up, and I thank whoever for buying it to me, then that's it. And then it comes to Mafter, they call me up again. The question is, can I get two aliyahs? So that's a discussion. I mean, the meaning is, except for Simchas Torah. Svarim don't even do it on Simchas Torah. Our meaning is on Simchas Torah, like you get the regular Aliyah, then you can get Chasen Torah, Chasen Bereshis. But during the year, so strictly speaking, it's a discussion. Some say you shouldn't get two Aliyahs, because then it looks like there was something wrong with your first Aliyah, maybe the way you were. So the meaning is not to, but Mayikar Adin, you know, according to some, you can get, there's nothing wrong with getting, you know, two Aliyahs. So the question is, let's say I tell the person, I already got Levi. I tell the guy I'm not taking Mafter, either because I don't want Mafter anyway or because I already had Levi. So he goes. So I said, go back to the guy and tell him to give it to someone else. The guy tells the God, "No, I only bought it for me. If he can't give it to me, I don't want it anymore." Does he have a right to back out of the buying that Aliyah anymore? He had in mind to buy after for me, but I already had Levi, so I'm not taking it. So do you rebid? What happened? Does he have a right to back down or not?
Well, the thing is that the person who's running the auction should have observed this at that when somebody then bid this for you again. He should have said, "No, you can't do that."
Exactly. As Jeff pointed, it never would happen here with our Gabbai. That is true. The Gabbai should have clarified.
So but that's where the responsibility lies. So they should auction it off again at that point.
Right. So it depends. So if it's a din of neder l'tzedakah, then I'm not obligated because I only had in mind neder l'tzedakah means if I get, you know, I only plan on buying it if that person gets the aliyah. It was never my neder, so therefore I wouldn't be obligated. If it's a din of choshen mishpah, let me ask you, walk into a store, let's say you buy a coat, and I'm buying a phone for Ryan, but I just go in and buy a phone, and I come back, Ryan doesn't want the phone. So I could go back to the store. They might have a return policy, but Ryan, he wants, he has the phone back. It's a joke. Mecca, I mean, the deal is a done deal. No one really cares what you had in mind. So if it's a mekach u'memchar, it wouldn't make a difference. But you had it wasn't, unless that was part of the actual...
Yeah, but the problem is here is the transaction is all taking place in one circle. So in that case, it would be Ryan would be already there in the store, and you'd be saying, "I'm buying this for Ryan," and Ryan would be able to say, "No, I don't want it."
No, it's not the way it's working. You're just buying the aliyah, and later on they ask you who you want it for. Maybe you want it for yourself. It's not... Some people that buy it for... You're right. If it's announced then you're right. But it's not the case here. You're just buying it, and that's what happens.
I got it.
Here's another case. The Or Sameach has an interesting shayla. That some, let's say, in the beginning of the year, Simchas Torah, some people have... You buy an aliyah for the whole year. So one person bought shishi for the whole year. Shishi is one of the chashiv aliyahs. I can never get it. I don't know. Unless maybe they're only Levium in the minyan, and then someone bought Chazak for the whole year. So at least that's only five times a year. They bought the Aliyah for Chazak for the whole year, and someone bought Shishi for the whole year. And it was Parshas Vayakel Pekudei Shabbos Shkolim. So you had three Sifrei Torah. So the problem was Chazak and Shishi are the same Aliyah. So who gets it? They both already made the pledges. They committed. He gets Chazak the whole year, and he gets Shishi. So what do you do in a case where Chazak turns out to be Shishi? So the Or Sameach has a whole discussion on it, but the Stipler writes, if he was there, he would have said, make a Hosafa. He would have said, give the person Shishi, then make a Hosafa. So why didn't the Or Sameach write that? Because it's a general Shiloh. Anytime you have a double Parsha, could you have Hosafas at all? Because the meaning is you're supposed to have 3.5 and 3.5 for each parsha, not to embarrass the other parsha. So there's different minhagim. Some don't make hosafas at all. I think that was through Soloveitchik Shita, but others point out only the first parsha you don't have, but you can have hosafas in the second. So, and he's right, this type writes here anyway, it's not even because you're only doing six aliyahs on this, say, because you're reading from. You're reading from Shkolim anyway, so he says anyway it's not 3.5 and 3.5. So he thought you give a Hosafa, and the Le'ashai was the Taz. Could you use Meiser money to pay to buy the Aliyahs? Do you have to use? It's going to use my tzedakah money or not? So it depends. So most pesum, if it's no value to it, it's just a neder with tzedakah, which then why not? If it's a mekach or memkach, I can't use my Meiser money and go and buy some chicken from the shul. I'm getting so the Taz seems to work the yes, and we assume else it wouldn't go over too well. We can use Maisa money, and that seems to be the way the Aruch HaShulchan learned. It's not a din of Mekach u'Memchar, it's a din of Nedu with Tzedakah.
So Maisa money would be like your 10%?
Yeah.